Sauce Trunk, a weekly trunkload of open source.
Hi, and welcome to Sauce Trunk Episode 2, recorded on the 1st of October 2006. This podcast will try to demystify the beautiful beast that is open source and show the listeners the more practical examples of open source and free software. I will do a description of three selected applications, going from office applications to server software, to multimedia software, to system tools, to audio software, to whatever you can think of. The first two will take more time than the third one. The last one will always be the little extra to end the episode with. I'm changing the format a bit. Only two applications and one extra instead of the three and one extra. I'm afraid that otherwise I won't be able to cram it in half an hour. So 2+1 it is, unless I change my mind next week. But now 2+1. This medium is so nice, you can change just while you're doing it. I also think I'm going to release the podcast every Tuesday evening. If I'm not able to do anything in the weekend on the podcast, then that gives me one day just to record it anyway. So that should be manageable. So from next week, it will be released on Tuesday. I'll be drinking a beer Brigand with this episode. It's a pretty heavy Belgian beer, 9% alcohol. And it's named after the Flemish fighters in the Battle of the Farmers, the Boerenkrijg. The Flemish farmers were called brigands, brigands, and they gave the French oppressor a really hard time. Now the beer does kind of represent that in its taste. It has a cidery taste, but it's very warm and has a strong afterglow. My godfather, this happens to be the favorite beer of my godfather, and he named his dog after the beer, Brigand, which is nice. And it's a very nice beer. Let's go.
System tools.
Let's start with Gparted. I'll start the description of Gparted with a question. Did you ever install a complete distribution on your machine and you had no room left for another distribution? For example, you installed Ubuntu and you wanted to try something else like a Gentoo distribution. And you used your complete hard drive for the first distribution. Or did you make some wrong decisions when you were partitioning your Linux or BSD distribution? You gave your home partition or your boot partition too less space. Or you installed Windows XP on a machine and you wanted to try out a distribution, a Linux distribution, for the first time and don't have any space left on your hard drive. You will have to resize your partition, and that's not easy to do. Now, Gparted is the answer. What is Gparted? It is the GNOME partition editor. Every hard drive is usually subdivided into one or more partitions. A thing that always has been a certainty in computer world is that you cannot resize a partition without losing the data. You had to copy the data to another drive or partition. You had to delete that partition, make a new partition, copy the lot back to the new partition. Very tedious, very error prone. Now, Gparted can just do that. It can resize partitions and keep the data intact. Isn't that neat? You have a really nice graphical interface where you can see the partitions in a nice rectangular box that visually represents the size it takes on your hard drive. So it works with a color scheme. You even can see what is a Linux swap, what is a VFAT, what is X3 or a Riser FS partition. You can really see what is on your hard drive, how your hard drive is partitioned. And then you can just take a partition and do lots of stuff with it. Like, for example, completely resize it. You can take unallocated space and make partitions just in that. You can even move a complete partition to another place or copy a whole partition to another disk or on the same disk on another partition, you can really do magic with gparted. You can just move your partitions, resize them. It's beautiful. Now, gparted already comes with the major distribution installers. When you're installing a Linux distribution, the chances are big that you will be doing the partition making with gparted. I think Ubuntu, for example, uses it. I think most Debian-based distributions use gparted. Now, what about resizing existing installations if you're not installing anything over it? Now, this is the point where the live CD version of gparted would be used. There is a live CD which you can use to boot up from, and then it will launch gparted for you and you can work from there. This is how it works in its most simple form. You download an ISO, which is really small, it's about 20 megabytes, 30 megabytes. You boot from the CD you made. GNOME Partitioning Editor 0.3 will boot on. You skip just the extra boot options. The boot options you have there is just to load RAID drivers, for example, or special drivers for your graphical card. Normally, you won't even have to use them, just boot up. You select the language, you select keyboard mapping, you select screen size and depth, and voila, gparted is staring you right in the face. And now you can resize and create your partitions on an existing hard drive, on existing operating systems. You just click apply, you wait for this to finish, and you reboot, and everything is resized or moved just like it should. The way I found out about gparted is rather strange. I have a couple of Windows 2003 servers at work, and I was building and configuring two Windows 2003 servers that were bound for production in about 3 weeks. They were hardware RAID 1, NTFS file system. I had installed all the necessary software on them. They were configured like they should. And after that, I heard from the developers of the software I will be using on those servers that it was best not to install their software on the system partition of the server. And to be honest, I only had made one partition, one big partition, because of the fact that there was no immediate need for a more complicated partitioning scheme. This was a pain. This was really, really a pain. I searched for software like Partition Magic or the like to resize the system partition of Windows 2003 server and create an extra partition on that where I could install the software. Nothing to be found. Not one of those commercial products supported repartitioning NTFS on Windows 2003 server. Sure, they could do it on XP, sure, they could do it on Windows 2000, but not one supported 2003 server. One company did, and I was not really happy with the way they profiled their software. They weren't really that cheap as well, so I was really in a tight spot. So I looked for open source software, and bam, there was gparted, and it supported NTFS. According to the fora, it even could handle Microsoft Windows 2003 server. 10 minutes later, CD was downloaded, it was burned, booted from, first server was completely resized, and all was well. Second one followed just soon after. After rebooting, the server just insisted to check its drives, which is normal, it didn't see that one coming. And everything was just fine. This is really cool software. Now, the features. Just let me sum up the file system that it supports. X2, X3, FAT16, FAT32, NTFS, RiserFS. There is limited support for HFS, HFS Plus, GFS, Linux Swap, Riser 4, UFS, and XFS. Now, the limited means it does most of the stuff, but sometimes it won't do the shrinking or the growing or creating of a new partition. You have to check on the site, yes. Negative aspects of the software, none found yet. It's really a good piece of software and haven't seen any reports of it really failing badly. The author is Bart Hackfort. Some tips, and it's a very important tip before we proceed. And this counts for all software that handles drives or files or inode structures. Before you continue, please back up your stuff. This is really, really important. Gparted has proven to be extremely stable, but still, bugs can happen. Electrical power can fail while the process is doing its thing. And then you're completely losing data. So always back up your data if you can. Even without using this software, you should always back up your data. Always. Availability. It's available for Unix, BSD and Linux only. So not for example, Mac OS X or Microsoft Windows system. This software uses the JTK MM. That's a C++ interface for JTK Plus and GNOME. But since it's available as a live CD or even as a live USB, it's usable for all supported file systems. Latest release is version 0.3.1. You can get it at gparted.sourceforge.net. All the links are in the show notes on sourcetrunk.com. The license is GNU General Public License. Now, how can you support this software? I'm adding this little segment of supporting the software because it's very important in open source land. So I'll mention it every time with every software application I'll be reviewing. This one you can support with reporting your bugs. If it is reproducible, post it on their webpage. Give as much information as you can. There's also a forum on the site, so you can help out other people if they have problems or not really grasp the whole partitioning thing. Give what you can when you can. Give the most information you can. If you feel up to coding with developers, go right ahead. If you are a coder, if you are a programmer, and you think that you can contribute to Gparted, contact the people as soon as possible. You can make simple donations if you want. Gparted made your day? Well, just donate at least half the amount you would have paid for commercial software. They really can use your donations because they have to buy hardware to test it on. They spend a lot of time making this beautiful product. So if you can, donate. If you don't feel like donating, just fine. Spread the word about it then. Make some mouth-to-mouth propaganda for the product. Let people know that this product is really, really good. Okay, this concludes Gparted. Let's move on to the next one. But first, let's sip this really nice Brigand. Too bad in audio I can't really give you a sense of how nice this beer is. This beer is really, really nice. Okay, second one.
Multimedia software.
XMMS. It's a free software audio player. It's very similar to Winamp. If you're a Microsoft Windows person, you will certainly know Winamp. Well, imagine Winamp then, and imagine it better. What it does, or better, what you can use it for, is the following. You can imagine yourself having a whole directory with music files, and you quickly, and I mean quickly, want to play them completely at random. To give you an example, I've got over 10,000 songs on my hard drive. That's one with four zeros. That's a lot. And it's all legal, folks. It's hard to believe, but there is a ton of Creative Commons stuff in there, or secondhand CDs I've ripped to my hard drive. No DRM, of course. So I want to be able to play it very fast and completely at random. I just have to open a directory with XMMS, and after a few seconds, it starts playing without a hiccup. Take another example. Imagine a streaming audio link you got from someone. Just open the URL with XMMS and it starts playing. Let's go to www.shoutcast.com, for example. Shoutcast.com has a gazillion radio stations for you to use freely. Click on a radio station, choose XMMS as the program that will be parsing that stream. And your jazz music or urban rap or country or whatever you are interested in is just playing out of your speakers. It's out there, people. Just use it. You can insert a CD, for example, in your computer, and it will start playing the CD. It will contact a CDDB server to get the information about the artist, about the CD, and it'll play just nicely. Now, XMMS has been around for a really long time. It was originally made in 1997 as X11 Amp. Now, in that era, there really was need for a simple but good MP3 player. Most of the people I know who started a long time ago with BSD or Linux always used XMMS because it was the best. It was really astonishing to see what nice multimedia application XMMS was way back then. There weren't a lot of multimedia applications under Linux or BSD, and XMMS did a really fine job. Today it has to compete with a lot of very fine and more sophisticated MP3 players or music jukeboxes, which I will be reviewing as well. So why would I do a review of something that old as XMMS? Because I find myself and a lot of other people grabbing XMMS when all the others fail. The others fail mostly because they're too complicated, or they are being buggy, or they hog down your system. I've seen Intel Core Duo systems completely going down on too complicated music players. XMMS just does what it has to do. Play local or streaming music without a problem. Now the features. Where to begin? I've only explained the basics about XMMS. I think we're now getting to the fun part. I'll give you all the different audio formats it supports. MP3, of course. Ogg Vorbis, WAV, WAV, AAC, FLAC, APE, WMA, TTA, and WAVPAC. I don't have a clue what WAVPAC files are, but I'll have to check into that because strange. Okay, it's also highly customizable. Winamp, for example, was especially known for its skins. This one has a lot of skins you can download as well. Or you can even install all your skins via a package manager. I give you an example. On a Debian-based system, you just do sudo apt-get install xmms-skins, and all the skins are completely loaded into XMMS. You can download those skins also from the XMMS sites. And if you're into that kind of troubles, you can even use the Winamp skins on XMMS. Never tried it, but apparently you can. Visualization. You can visualize your audio as well. For iTunes users, you really have to admit it, iTunes does a really crappy job of visualization. So XMMS has a lot of nifty visualization plugins, and they are really beautiful. Make use of the OpenGL formats, and it really, really is nice to look at or just have in a little window on your screen while you're working. Visualization is very good. It has all sorts of other plugins, input plugins, output plugins, control plugins. Just let me name you a few I took from a list of over 100 plugins. You will be surprised how much plugins there are. There we go. There's the cover viewer. This gives you covers while playing. The FLAC, so the lossless audio codec. FM radio is a plugin as well. FM radio input plugin for XMMS. There's Iris, which is an advanced OpenGL visualization plugin. The iTouch keyboard plugin. The Linux infrared remote control plugin. Live Eyes, which is a plugin that sends your audio completely to a shoutcast server. You have the MSA, the Spectrum Analyzer plugin. You have the Arc Disk Output plugin. You have a playlist manager with search support. You have the Singit, which is a display and edit lyrics with XMMS. You have the stats, make stats of your preferred songs. You have the status plugin. You have the synesthesia, which is also a glowing lights visualization. You have the Volnorm, a plugin that gives all songs the same volume level, something that iTunes supports as well. You have Disco Tux, which is Tux dancing to the music on your desktop. This is insane. And you have the M-Player plugin, for example, which lets XMMS play M-Player video files and more and more and more. There are a lot of plugins. It's really astonishing. There are some negative aspects as well. This software is really old. It uses the old version of the GTK Plus toolkit. Now, a major upgrade of XMMS would lead to a lot of dysfunctional plugins due to that fact. But still, it works like a charm. You have no HTTP authentication, for example. If you have your music on your own web server and you want to play it from that web server and you want to put some HTTP authentication on it, it doesn't work. It's not implemented and I haven't found a plugin for it, which is really a shame. If anybody knows how to get HTTP authentication to work with XMMS, just mail me at sourcetrunk@gmail.com because I'm really interested. The author is Peter and Michael Alm, and they made it in 1997. Some tips. Don't get frustrated if a certain plugin doesn't work. Just go to all the fora, use Google, and normally you will get it to work on any distribution you like. Speaking of distributions, it's available for all sorts of Unix, BSD and Linux operating systems. And if you really like, you can get it to work on a macOS X system via Darwin ports. I use it at work and it's really strange and cool at the same time to have that little XMMS window in your Aqua dancing around and doing its stuff. Okay, the latest release. There is nothing happening on the development side of XMMS. The latest release was of the 23rd of February 2004. Just let me read some news items from the XMMS site. One of them is, ding dong, it's April 27th and all is quiet. Another news item on the XMMS site is, I would like to take the opportunity to say hello to my mother. Hi, mother. Another one is, 2002 called and they want their August news back. It's really insane. This project is completely dead and is still used by, I think, millions of people. When you search for projects built around XMMS, you'll find over 200 projects that support XMMS. You have control via ncurses, you have audio plugins, you have rep controls, you have... it's all recently updated. But the core is completely dead, and yet it's so alive. It's really spooky. That or the Brigand beer is getting to my head. Okay, where to get it from? You can get it from www.xmms.org. The license is GNU General Public License. How to support it? Well, you can't. Not to my knowledge. If you know how to support XMMS, let me know via the site sourcetrunk.com. Just post a comment on this episode or mail me at sourcetrunk@gmail.com.
The little extra.
Okay, the last one, the little extra, and that is also a very nice feature. It's nice software and it's called PDF TK. But first, let me take a little sip of this nice beer. If you're driving to work now, I think you're getting really annoyed with me drinking beer here. But hey, can't help it. Okay, so like I said, the third one will be a very small thing, something I will not spend a lot of time on, but is really worth mentioning. So, PDFTK. I'll have to read the description from the site, because it's really very good description. It says a lot. Now, here we go. If PDF is electronic paper, then PDFTK is an electronic staple remover, hole punch, binder, secret decoder ring, and X-ray glasses. PDFTK is a command line tool for doing everyday things with PDF documents. Okay, now let's explain this. Normally, a lot of PDF manipulations are only doable with Adobe Acrobat Professional, which is really expensive software, or you can do it with other software. This PDFTK is a simple command line utility which does a lot of stuff you can do with other expensive software. Some examples. You can update PDF metadata. You can encrypt PDFs. You can decrypt PDFs, if you know the password. You can apply a background watermark, for example. You can split PDFs. You can merge PDFs. You can autofill PDF forms with data. You can repair PDFs, etc., etc. All basic stuff, which are really tiny changes to the PDF data, but are normally not easy to do. I'll give you a real life example. I needed a flow where PDFs could be put in as to make them all protected by a password and not printable or modifiable. That's what I wanted to do. Change on a daily basis, automatically, a whole lot of PDFs which were completely modifiable and protect them with a password and make them not printable and not modifiable. Seems easy. But for that to be happening, I had to normally take Adobe Acrobat Professional, make a batch queue, and have something graphical running on a front server, which is not the way I would be doing this. I needed something small, something I could launch from within a page PHP script. Now, PDFTK was a solution. It's stable, it's fast, it's free, as in it didn't cost me anything, it didn't give any hiccups, and it's completely open source. I haven't found any negative aspects. The thing just runs, it just works. I never had anything going wrong with it. So, no negative aspects. The author is Sid Stewart, who has a complete PDF form for users and programmers on www.accesspdf.com. Tips? Well, not really. Just read the man page, that's all. The man page has all the features, all the syntax in it, and that's all you need. Availability? It's available for FreeBSD, Linux, Solaris, Microsoft Windows, yes, even Microsoft Windows, and macOS X. Latest release? This one also is not really maintained. The last update is from 6 December 2004. It's just another old timer that simply does the job. Where to get it? You can get it if you want to from the package managers, for Debian at least. I have to check with RPM-based package managers. Or you can get it from accesspdf.com, which is, as I said, the home site of Sid Stewart. All the links in the show notes as well. The license is also GPL GNU General Public License. So all three of these programs I have reviewed are completely GPL software. Okay, let's wrap it up. I've pulled the fora from the site because of the simple fact that it's not really meaningful just yet. Maybe if the cast grows a bit more, it'll make sense, but now it's just plain silly. But it gave me the opportunity to show some friends the ease of use of the Drupal engine I'm using for the website. So that's an enormous plus. And if I need a fora after all, I just have to flip a switch. You're a geek or you're not. It's just as simple as that. The theme song of this podcast is by Brand New Sin. The song is called Freight Train, and you can find them on music.podshow.com.
Oh yeah, almost forgot. This is Alison Crowe with Midnight.
Thanks for your time, thanks for listening, and good hunting.
At midnight, I open up my door and I say, hey, well, why don't you just go and see what happened then? And I don't know exactly what it is I'm trying to prove. All I know is this is just what works for me right now. And then I come back down, maybe in a minute or Make us whole and fuel all your desire. Bye-bye.